Hello, everyone. Welcome back to There Are Four Hosts, as always, There Are Four Hosts. I'm Sabrina. You can find me at Voidcat Gaming on Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram.
And I'm Michael. You can find me, actually, primarily at Four Hosts on Twitter, F-O-U-R Hosts.
Hey, everyone. This is Jonathan. You can find me at Just Average J pretty much everywhere on the internet.
Hi, I'm Keith Justice. You can find me at Keith Hayward on Twitter or Keith Justice on the Twitches.
So last week we talked about the motion picture, kind of, so we were like, oh, why not talk about Wrath of Khan this week? Mm-hmm. And as, I'm sure your listeners will recall, I'm the big TOS person here, and, our gentlemen are primarily, next gen, in mm-hmm. preference, mm-hmm. And DS9, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, I had the opportunity, so I was like, well, since we're gonna be doing Wrath of Khan anyway, I require that you watch Space Seed. Was it the first time for all of you?
Yes, it was.
No. I want to say no, but I'll say this is the first time I really actually remember it. Like, I think I saw it because it was kind of like required watching for all fans, but I don't remember watching mm-hmm. it. So yeah, so I'll just pretend this is my first time.
And kind of how I felt about motion picture. I'm just like, I've seen this before, but I keep erasing it from my brain.
Yep.
No, I've seen it before. And me and my kiddo have been doing for a while. Right. We were doing he kind of jumps around from original series to Enterprise, and then like he flip-flops, but we've watched this.
Very cool.
Nice. So Michael, what did you think?
Did it
change your perspective on Wrath of Khan at all, or?
No, but it gave me like a greater appreciation for TOS. Mm-hmm. I do need to start watching. I've seen like a handful of episodes, I'm afraid to admit. Mm-hmm. Especially with the enhanced special effects, which look amazing. I think I could.
It's certainly better than they did in 66.
Yeah. I could give it a try, even though Space Seed, it was a good episode, but it was so hokey in times, that's just TOS, I guess. But it was cool to see like a little backstory of Khan. I actually want to know more about him, after seeing that and the movie, but no, I enjoyed it. Yeah.
You want to know more about the, space flight that we had in 1996?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure there's books out there. Yeah,
right?
The USS, wait, what was it? The SS Button Bay.
Yeah.
What naming? I mean, my goodness. Yeah. You know, Space Seed actually has one of my favorite McCoy's a Badass scenes.
Mm-hmm. The knife scene.
Yeah. What do you think about that? Where Khan's asleep and he holds a knife to his throat and he's like strangling him. He's like, well, which one is it? Are you going to strangle me or are you going to stab me? Pick one.
I was like, dude, you're a badass.
Dude, he's so.
Yeah, is he there?
He just doesn't give a you know what. I love it.
Like, yeah. McCoy has faced death so many times. He's like, you know what? Yeah. I'm not that scared this time.
It's like every time he gets on that damn transporter, he's facing death.
Right.
Yeah, but there's also that influence of like the you know, because Star Trek was the, especially TOS, was the Western in mm-hmm. space.
Yeah.
Long before Firefly. And it's kind of like that Western doctor doesn't give a shit because people are always like holding him ransom or whatever the fuck feeling.
Yeah.
It's just like, because, you know, DeForest Kelly was in a bunch of Westerns before he did Star Trek.
Yeah.
And it's just like a very strong influence of that. Like, listen, I'm a doctor in the middle of nowhere. What are you going to do to me? Really?
I'm your only lifeline to life. So are you really going to knock me out? Is this going to happen? I don't think so.
Too funny. But no, that is a great scene.
Anything that really surprised you guys about Spacey?
Let's see. The 60s style is a tough one to chew on for me.
The clothes, you mean?
Or? Yeah, the clothes, the music, the lighting, the soft soap opera lighting that happens there so often.
Super weird outfit he's wearing when they wake him up. Like,
yeah, like he's such a badass. He can wear it wherever he wants.
Hell yeah.
The short skirts. Holy shit.
They were so short you had to wear shorts underneath.
Yeah, every time I see it, I'm just like, everyone was okay with this? Like, Uhura, like, every time you move, I could see the entire way up your leg. This is awesome for me. I love it. I felt like I come from a world where, you know, you shouldn't objectify that much, especially when we're in space, on a spaceship, mm-hmm. and we're military. But, mm-hmm. like, they're ready for parties and stuff. So I was just like, damn.
Yeah, a brief history lesson. The miniskirt came out around that time. And they thought that it would be empowering to put women in the mini skirts because, you know, until then they had been all like in really dour kind of outfits. So at the time it was actually considered empowering.
Cool. Yeah, everybody seems to be enjoying it. So thumbs up. It's just like for me, it's so shocking. As shocking as when I saw it in TNG. Like it pop up every so often. And I'm like, what the hell happened there? Like the first time I noticed it was like that one guy who's wearing it. He's wearing the red one.
The scant. Yep.
Yeah. He walks up in the screen. I'm like, why are you in a short dress? He's gone. Wait, what was that?
It's comfortable, Keith. Okay, I've heard that it's comfortable.
Well. It is comfortable. Speaking as a person who lives in a hot place, dresses are nice because you only have to put one item on and it doesn't like super overheat. It's great.
A person who has recently in the last few years experienced a kilt. God bless them. That they are very. Those are crazy comfortable. So
yeah.
But yeah, the costumes are tough.
Yeah, there's certainly something to be said about the social change between the 60s when they were like, yes, miniskirts are empowering, and the 80s when they were like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to put the men and the women in the same outfits.
Yeah. I guess for space science fiction, it makes more sense. So yeah, the costumes are jarring to watch, but yeah, it comes from a different mindset back then of what fashion was. Let's see. Khan's sub dom scene made me squirm in my seat.
Yeah,
that was weird.
Yeah. The sub one where he's like pulling her hair down.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he's kind of telling her, leave or stay, or now tell me you want me to stay, and just
ask
like
to stay.
Now you have to ask.
Okay, I guess this is pretty consensual between both of them, but it's just like just watching it play. I was kind of like, I hate him.
Yeah.
That scene does also make me uncomfortable.
But that's what it's supposed to do. That's what he was, you know?
I mean, definitely. And she's into that. I mean, that's her whole thing. She's like, I'm into strong men. Tell me what to do. He's like, okay, I'll tell you what to do.
Yeah. She was all in, and they're both vibing. But watching it, it was just,
In the background, Bones is like, I told you what to do. You never listened to me. No, I'm just
kidding. You didn't do it right, Bones.
They're all vibing in Bones in the background like, hey, come on, I'm hot.
I can do that.
Unfair.
Let me get my disco outfit. I'll be right back. I'll show you something.
It's really kind of amazing that they took that and made a movie out of it. And then, you know, that actor is just obviously phenomenal. And, you know, it's probably one of my favorite TOS episodes, honestly. Mm-hmm.
It's a good one.
Yeah. And it's well done. You know what? It doesn't drive me crazy. I shouldn't say that. But what's crazy about watching the original series and even the movie movies have become a lot faster.
Yeah.
So when you're watching part of me is just like, that's so slow. But then I have to take a step back and go, wait a minute. Like, that's how it was back then. And that this is entertainment. Like, it still gets where it's going. It's just not as fast and boom, bam, you know, like we have, I don't know what it is, but Hollywood is very like, you know, every 30 seconds or every minute, something's got to hit, you know? And back then it was just like these pan shots of the Enterprise and these, you know, space shots of the Enterprise with SS Botany Bay in tow. And, you know, it takes 30 seconds for just the ship, you know? So for 30 seconds, you're just sitting there. But then at the time that was amazing. So it's just funny how far we've come as far as, you know, like entertainment and movies and just the pace of them, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Last night we watched The Maltese Falcon. It was my first time seeing it. You know, I was like, oh, okay, it's a classic. You know, I probably should have seen it by now.
Yeah.
Whatever. So we watched The Maltese Falcon and good Lord, like things happen very slowly. The end, we were like, wait, was that really a resolve? It was just like, okay, so yep, let me put it all together. You're the person who did the murder and now you're being taken away. Ha ha, I figured out everything. Mm-hmm. Also, like, probably the character I've liked, what the fuck? How did I forget his name?
Khan? Is it Khan?
No, I'm not talking about that movie. Maltese I'm talking Falcon. About Maltese Falcon still.
I haven't seen it, so no spoilers. I'm just kidding.
Humphrey Bogart. Probably the character I've liked Humphrey Bogart in the least.
No,
okay. Just, like, a smarmy jerk.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yep, we were definitely surprised by like how not the same pace as today that movie was.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, that being said, though, it still gets to where it's going. And when you're watching Space Seed, you know, that final scene where Kirk wins, you know, it's rewarding. You know what I mean? Like, for you, taking a step back and realizing what they had to deal with back then and what the technology they had and just everything, you kind of have an appreciation of, like, okay, they got there. And it was rewarding, you know?
Yeah. I'm glad you find that so.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Keith?
First, I was going to say Maltese Falcon. Someone forced me to watch it, and I remember loving the experience because I was like, oh, wow, they could make movies back then. And, yeah. Oh, so that's why people think he's cool. Because I did feel he was cool as hell in that movie. But going back out to Star Trek, I love the action of that episode is talking. That dinner they had was fantastic because, I saw them playing, like, tactics on each other. And then you get to see, like, Khan himself. He's like, nope, I can hit you future men. I'm more than a match for you when it comes to talking, at least. And, like, he's like, I see what you're doing there. And, like, the cuts and, like, the exchanges of looks that was a lot of fun watching, future men who are, you know, smarter because of their time versus inherently smart man who... has, like, you know, genetic edges over them. It was, the way it was written was really well done. So, that was
absolutely
fun to watch.
Absolutely. And, I mean, Shatner and Leonard Nimoy, they just play off each other so well.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
I got to see that thing you're talking about where...
Spock is kind of smirky.
Yes, Spock and Bones are always going at it. Like, I laughed out loud at that moment where they're starting to start up again, and Kirk stands up.
And Kirk's like, "All right, stop it, gentlemen. Yeah.
We've done this before. Come on, we got work to do."
see what I mean? Keith Flares.
They're fun. They
just
are
like
fun
sniping at each other. Kirk's like, "All right, back to your stations. Hold on,
dude. We're at work right now."
Oh yeah, that's right, because he's like, yes, the scientists. McCoy's like, yes, not humans, these scientists. You might know their type, the ones who are obsessed with logic.
Fuck you, dude. No, fuck you, dude. That was fun. I also like that, I love in Star Trek where if you fight someone from Starfleet, they have the science of martial arts on their side that usually overpowers, like, stronger opponents. Mm-hmm. And you got to see that actually play out in the one-on-one fight between Khan and Kirk, where he's using more tactics, leverage, and fancier moves versus Khan, who can just, like, steamroll through, like, strength. So I actually like that fight, that how it played out.
Oh, yeah. Good. Well, Keith, we don't have to do it right now, but I do want to get your take on the fight in Wrath of Khan. The space fight.
Do you mean the spaceship duke out?
Yeah.
One of the greatest. Still to this day. Great. Like, should we jump to Wrath of Khan talking, or do we want to finish up any talk on the episode?
I think we can swap back and forth.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's usually what we do. It's how we roll.
Yep.
Or I don't think, did we get to hear your general feelings, Sinket, about Sabrina, about this episode
about Spacey? I guess not, but we didn't really get everybody's opinions anyway. I just kind of jumped in today. Spacey is one of my favorites. I quite like, as you brought up, that rather than having just a physical fight, they also have that battle of wits at the dinner. Like, they're clearly trying to outwit each other, get an above hand on each other in, like, a political fashion rather than, like, a purely militaristic one. Mm-hmm. I quite like looking at Space Seed as compared to Wrath of Khan, because Khan comes back and he's like, oh, this is all your fault, Kirk! But, like, is it really? Is it, though?
Yep. I'll say that they kind of... I did a little history on this, and Gene Roddenberry was furious about Wrath of Khan. Do you guys know about the history on that?
No.
Oh, no,
I don't, actually.
So, the motion picture was a shit show behind the scenes, apparently. Mm-hmm. Like, every day they get new scripts from, like, these two guys, Gene Roddenberry and this other guy. And the other guy, he's more experienced doing movies. And, like, then the person, Michael Eisner, above them was like, Gene Roddenberry, you're writing a TV show right there. We need a movie like this guy. But, like, Gene Roddenberry, this is my thing. So throughout the entire production, like, you saw Gene Roddenberry just keep on trying to interfere, and he did, and budgets were blown out, and people had a horrible time, and that's why Spock didn't want to come back ever again. Then, like, he had a meeting with the director of this one, and the guy says, what if I threw in a death scene? And Spock's like, okay.
Hey, that's funny. That's how they got Han Solo to do that one movie, too.
What? Yep. He dies? Like, no, I'm just kidding.
Picard. Picard's like, can I die, too? I don't know. Like, actors, you guys seem to really love that more than anything else ever.
Here's the thing. You made a movie, like, 30 years ago, and it's one of the only movies people will talk to you about. Mm-hmm. When you were like 20, made the movie when you were 20, and nobody will talk to you about anything else. Just like fucking kill off that character. I don't want to deal with it anymore.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Okay.
Kind of like artists being like, I'm tired of you guys making me play this song from my first album. Like, I've changed musically since then.
As a kid, I used to like write a lot, and I put my heart into stuff and like things I liked more because it was personal, it was for me. And then, like, I remember this one story I can't remember. That I wrote, and like I feel like I didn't try as hard as I did a whole bunch of things that I didn't normally do, and then like all these people just were praising it, and they're like, "Oh my god, this is your!" I ripped that thing up. I was like,
when
"No,
something you're not even proud of that everybody's obsessed with." You're like, "Why?"
Yep. So I ripped it up. And I destroyed it because I was like, "No, fuck this! I'm not gonna be known for this thing I didn't even try on." So
well, there you go. Now you understand.
It was called Wrath of Khan, and it.
Wow.
But yeah, Wrath of Khan was such a joy for Leonard Nimoy to come back to. So they didn't want to go through the horror stories before of the last movie. So they totally benched Gene Roddenberry. They're like, here, look, why don't you be the executive producer? We'll give you an office and everything. And they're like,
the executive like, what to the fuck? Executive producer.
Yeah, they gave him what appears to be a higher up job to get him away from the set. And
smart.
Yeah. So that made it so they're working with people who are just more kind, having more fun, and doing weird things that Gene Roddenberry didn't want them to do, such as making Starfleet a little too militaristic.
I love it when people argue that Starfleet isn't the military of the Federation. I'm like, well, just because they're peacekeepers rather than like actively like war push does not mean they're not the military. It just means that's the military we're used to seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got into an argument where he was like, look, you have Navy terms, you have torpedoes, you have everything that goes into a military. What are you talking about? And the thing that Gene Roddenberry hated the most was, you're going to kill Spock? No! I refuse! So, sorry, I'll go up. I won't take up too much with history, but it was a fun story where...
Why the fuck not?
The reason why... So, the movie's being made, Spock's cool with the death, everybody's all in with it, so then Gene Roddenberry starts leaking that they're going to kill Spock, and that causes, like, a writing campaign.
Damn.
Gene!
Yeah, and like, that's why you had the Kobayashi Maru was created in the first place, where to trick fans, they're saying they put the death... So, like, originally the death was supposed to be in the first half of the movie, and then Kirk's going to deal with the rest of the movie. When they're like, wait, fuck it. Like, let's do this fake out death so that when people see it, they think it's fake. And then we get him back into the movie and then we kill him at the end.
That's smart.
I love that Kirk was talking to McCoy during that scene at the beginning, the Kobayashi Maru. And McCoy is like, how did I do? And he goes, I'm not a drama critic.
Yeah. Meta commentary.
It was fun. That's fun.
Yeah, geez, interesting. Like, yes, thank you, Gene, for creating Star Trek, but also in many ways, like, places where you're just like, Gene, get out! Gene, stop it!
Yep.
Gene. Like, the thing with the Ferengi, you've heard about the thing with the Ferengi, right?
I don't think I have.
Okay, well, Gene Roddenberry, evidently when they were coming up with they were working on the Ferengi, he was very specific about, like, what their genitalia looked like, and what kind of sex they had.
Thanks, Gene. Thanks.
And people were like, Gene, this is a family show, we can't show that sort of thing.
He's drawing penises, vaginas. Guys, wait, hear me out.
He's just like sex obsessed. Gene!
God bless old man Gene, crazy man. Yeah, I think science fiction or good creative stuff needs that crazy person
yeah.
to give it a genuine heart.
We're crazy people, so...
Yes, we are.
Solved.
I'm glad they benched him, because it's made one of my favorite... Well, actually, my favorite Star Trek movie of all time, so...
Yep, that all
Wrath
the things...
is your favorite of all time?
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah. Why is it your favorite?
There you go.
Because it's the best of the Star Trek movie. No, it's just... because it is, Keith. No, I mean, everything from the music to Ricardo Montalban's acting. I love the new uniforms. I get goosebumps when I watch it even today. So it's an amazing movie, I think.
Yeah. The original name of the movie was Undiscovered Country.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
The original name was Undiscovered Country, and Khan was supposed to rise up and gather all the young people of the galaxy to turn on Kirk.
Interesting.
And that was the original.
Hmm.
I'll say that Space Seed gave me a different perspective on Khan, where I'll say if I'd been an old school fan and came to it, like, you know, originally, and I was still me, I'd be a little mad that they ruined Khan. I love the idea of, like, he's strong, he's smart, he's aggressive, and given a planet, and... like, you know, let me, like, maybe 500 years in the future, what does that planet become? What is that culture like? Mm-hmm. That would have been amazing. But instead, bring him back as a bad guy to kill off.
They blew up another planet, and then that planet turned into hell, and, you know, all that stuff. Yeah.
The planet we happened to put you on is now destroyed. Whoops, our bad.
Yeah.
I still have a hard time picturing what happened.
Like, why a planet, like, exploded?
Was it a planet or a star?
No, a planet. So he said it was a... what was it?
SETI Alpha
6 and SETI Alpha 5. And basically, SETI Alpha... I get them mixed up, I apologize. But basically, they were on... so, Khan and his crew were on SETI Alpha, let's say, 5, right? Mm-hmm. And SETI Alpha... I mean, I don't know if that's the right one, but they're on SETI Alpha 5. It's habitable. It's fine. And then, SETI Alpha 6 explodes, right? Which then changes the orbit of SETI Alpha 5, which they're on.
Oh,
and it becomes less inhabitable. Do you see what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
So,
it knocks it out of the Goldilocks.
Exactly.
There you go.
But that's the thing is, well, why would a planet explode?
Hello, Death Star.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But it's like, what caused... like, there's so much I want to know. Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, I thought it was another star. I'm like, really? Is that it? And because a star exploded in another solar system, you can't tell which planet is which in this solar system?
Yeah.
What's going on? So, that was a little confusing.
Yeah.
Here's what I think, what I find confusing. So, SETI Alpha 5, 6, whatever, whenever it was, becomes uninhabitable. Mm-hmm. His entire crew dies. How does he get off the planet?
Well, he took over Chekhov and the captain, and then they all beamed up to the Reliant.
Yeah, he did, but how did he get there?
He had Chekhov call back to his ship and say, beam us up?
No,
because he was under control?
Kirk dropped him off on SETI Alpha 5,
mm-hmm.
and then when 6 exploded, it made 5 uninhabitable, so they were still on 5.
Yeah, they're still on the same planet that they're
correct.
Dropped off on.
Right, but, I mean, they weren't given anything to... So, how did they...
I want to understand the question
curious.
Now, because Kirk drops them off on that one planet.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like they jumped to another planet?
Well, no, just on that planet. They get dropped off with no tech, because they don't want them to escape again.
Mm-hmm.
Then how did he escape?
Chekhov rolled up and gave them a ship to get escape on.
Mm-hmm.
But why?
That's okay.
Chekhov rolls up with the Reliant. They go down to the planet.
He gets something put in him to control what he's doing. Mm-hmm.
Then he says, call back up to the ship and beam us all up.
Mm-hmm.
But how did Khan get Chekhov to come to that planet in the first place? Why did you beam down in the first place, Chekhov? That's what I'm saying.
They were looking for a planet that didn't have any life for the Genesis Project.
Yeah, and there was one sensor reading that was a little off, and Chekhov's like, wait a minute, there might be people on this planet. We can't
something we can transplant.
Yeah.
And their database on Starfleet ship is totally dog shit, apparently, because yeah. they can't remember what solar system they did what in.
Right.
Yeah, right. So, like, I know Chekhov wasn't on the ship yet when Kirk ran into Khan, because it's season one and Chekhov shows up season three. Mm-hmm. So I know he's still at the Academy when it happened, so it makes sense that, like, he wouldn't know about it. But, mm-hmm. yeah, exactly what you said. You would think there'd be a record of it. Like, Kirk, did you not write down that this happened?
Like a warning sign? Hey,
here's
they didn't write it down.
Are there no records? One thing.
There definitely are, because every episode starts with him doing a captain's log.
I know.
Well, so that's just his personal diary. It doesn't get published or anything.
Here's something funny to think about. When Chekhov shows up, Khan says, "I never forget a face, Chekhov."
Yep.
So he knew who Chekhov was, even though Chekhov wasn't in the first season.
Yeah, that's isn't definitely that kind of weird? A mistake.
Yeah. That totally flew past. I'm aware of this because of a video that I watched, mm-hmm. but yeah, as like a just a casual, I'm like, la 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 la. He's on the Enterprise. That makes sense. La 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 la.
Wait a minute.
Well, I mean, this movie was made 15 years after the episode came out. I'm sure not that many people noticed until they were like, wait, hold on.
Unless they're like us, who are like, wait a minute, hold on.
Hey,
that doesn't work.
Yeah, so that's a mistake, but it's fine. There's plenty of, like, little issues with that throughout Star Trek because of, like, all sorts of reasons. Like, in TOS, there's a bunch of different times when people are wearing the wrong color uniform because they were, you know, extras or one-day people, and they're like, listen, we only have a set amount of uniform. We'll give you the one you fit in.
Exactly.
Sorry, the rank's wrong. Whatever.
And then there was that one with the Starbucks cup. Oh, wait a minute.
The one with the Starbucks cup. Hold on.
Or then there was the Next Generation where they didn't have the costumes that they were going to wear in time. So they're like, fuck, grab DS9 costumes, even if they don't fit you, Geordi. I'm sorry. That happened.
Mm-hmm. Or I like that story that Marina tells about, like, hey, what happened to that one outfit? Well, it was dry clean only, and it was like one of her spandex stretchy ones, right? It was dry clean only, and one of the interns tossed it in the washing machine to wash it instead of dry cleaning it, and it fell apart, and that's why you never see it again.
Aw, I love that one. If it was the purple one. Anyway, yeah.
That was I think fantastic. It was.
Damn, I love that one.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Once they put her in uniform, the writing for Troy improves, so.
See.
I don't know why that. Like, man, the writing for Troy in season one is just mad.
Mm-hmm.
So I do feel once again, one last time, lost opportunity of like what kind of grand story you could tell about what civilization Khan could have created. That would have been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, Kubimashi Maru. Oh, I was thinking that when the four of us played Bridge Captain. It mm-hmm. dawned perfect. Upon me that we were playing the Kobayashi. Right? That was a lot of fun.
Nice.
That was fun.
You know, one thing that it just, it's every time I watch that movie, it just, the hatred. And Ricardo Montalban is amazing. He's just pure rage and hate toward Kirk. And it's amazing because you just, you know, no, I'm going to hurt him, you know, like, I'm going to get the last laugh, I'm going to get him, you know, and his crew's like, dude, wait, like, we've won, what are you talking, we have a Genesis device, we're good. And
he's I still have to ruin his life some more.
No, I must hurt Kirk. I mean, it's...
From hell's power, I stab at thee.
Damn you!
And I love all the, like, the quotes and stuff that he has, and he's he's so eloquent, and even in his last breath, da 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 da, you know, like he's just so dramatic, and I love it.
I love he spits his last speth.
Shut up, Keith.
Okay, so for 40 years now or so, I thought that his last line was, and I spit my last speth at you, which I thought speth was like Shakespearean as fuck of the word spit, but it's he spits his last breath at Kirk. But my headcanon will always be he spits his last spat.
Excellent.
It's amazing.
Whoa,
amazing. Eat that on a t-shirt. Like,
use a smart word for spit, man. This guy is just crazy.
This guy's dope as hell.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Although he scared the shit out of me because For me, he will always be the Fantasy Island guy.
Yeah.
I was raised on that show. That was I watched every episode. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the height of the most kind person in the world, where he might even be God himself. And that was back in my Christian days. And then even went head to head with Satan himself in the show. I'm like, whoa,
jeez, I need to watch this.
Yeah, that was a scary episode. But then all of a sudden here he's beefed out and
dripping
because
with evil.
Since I've seen him as God before, he was just an amazing imposing figure on the screen. So yeah, it was weird seeing him as a bad guy.
He does it so well. Yeah, he's like the best bad guy for Kirk. It's so good.
That obsession with revenge is very strange, but Space Seed shows him as being so emotional and just yes, I want to do this thing and I want to do this thing. And then it doesn't necessarily feel out of character, but just a little. You went a little insane though, dude.
Got a little carried away with that.
A little carried away.
Well, he did spend 15 years on the planet. So.
As an actor, he probably loved it because he got to go crazy.
Oh my god, I would love to.
Right?
Villains are so fun.
Right?
And that's his real chest. That was not a prosthetic.
Yeah, no shit.
I don't know where he got that beefcake body from, but he hides it well underneath the suit that he's wearing in Fantasy Island. For the longest time I thought it had to be fake, but nope, he's cut.
I'm afraid that's often the case with actors.
They're
cut under their clothes.
Let's see. The thing I noticed is that this movie is a bit of a reboot of the movie franchise, where they acknowledge Jack and nothing of the previous movie and change uniforms, and everybody on set was just giddy and happy for that because they didn't like that movie.
Yeah,
just pretend the motion picture never happened.
Yep, they're literally not happy about. Hey, I can see my junk through this tight costume. They're like, don't worry about it. You're in the future. It'll be fine.
Future junk.
Future junk.
It's all good.
You know, one thing just to throw out before I forget. I love Spock when he's like, he thinks two dimensionally, Captain. The light goes off and you're like, ooh, and he's like, drop us 10,000, kilometers or whatever. And then he comes up behind him. Like, that scene just, I get chills because I'm like, that's awesome.
I cheer when that happens. But yeah, that's my favorite moments because and my friends had to explain to me what that meant. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, checkmate. Yeah. He thinks in two dimensions, and Kirk is almost laughs like, noob. Let me show you what space battle is.
Pwned,
seafaring
noob.
Man.
Get pwned, noob.
Okay.
GG's.
Listen, Spock and Kirk are good at thinking in 3D because they play 3D chess all the time. Right. It's not Khan's fault. Clearly, 3D chess was just invented after he was frozen. Yeah. Except, they already had the technology to send people to space, so you'd think he would realize it was a 3D. But it's fine.
Well, and so what's hilarious to me is how he read all the technical manuals, in a day on the Enterprise, right? Mm-hmm. And, knew how to take over the ship.
It just burns through them.
But doesn't understand that space is in three dimensions.
Damn it,
Jay, quit ruining it.
All right, fair enough.
What bothered me was his line about, I will chase Kirk around the something nebula and through the something or other and this and that, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, wait, you don't know what those are. You're not a spacefaring guy, I don't think. You shouldn't be talking in those terms.
Yeah, didn't they put you guys on the SS Botany Bay and shoot you out into space because they thought that was the only way to get you to stop annoying them? Like, you were on Earth and then they kicked you off on Earth. Now you know about the nebulae, so far away. How do you do that?
Yeah, every time he says that, I'm wondering, does it maybe mean something else to him? Is he quoting from a book, maybe?
Well, I mean,
he read all the technical manuals and memorized all of the astro charts. Every single one.
Well, think about it, though.
That's on the
if
table.
If you're stuck on a planet and, you got nothing to do, what are you going to do? You're going to read, right?
You already have the books.
They had the Botany Bay, and, I guess, no, the Botany Bay wasn't new enough to have the computer stuff. Never mind.
No.
That doesn't work.
Yep.
But it had a bunch of books on there.
1996. It still cracks me up that in the 60s, or you know what I mean? Like, they thought that 1996, we were going to have, like, a spacefaring vessel.
The eugenics war.
Yeah. And, like,
it was 30 years later.
World War III and all this stuff. I'm like, God.
They were like, this moon stuff is really exciting. Let's just assume that we're going to keep going this way. Bad news for you, people of the past. I'm afraid that's not quite how it worked.
We fucked up.
Yeah.
See, do you know the Reliant is upside down?
What's that?
Really?
The original drawing of the Reliant is like what you see from like the NX ship. It's supposed to be, the nacelles are supposed to be on top, but the guy who, there's two different stories I'm now hearing. One guy said that the recent video says that they're given the picture, but the guy looked at it upside down and improved it upside down, said, make that.
Mm.
Or someone says that their profiles are too similar, so you can't at a glance tell which ship is ship, which ship is which.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, originally the Reliant is supposed to have nacelles on the top, but because of too similar or someone did something wrong, it's upside down. And that's why we get the Miranda class looking like it does.
I like the way it looks, so I think it works.
Yeah.
I like how much I dislike it.
Well, that's something.
Yeah, as a kid, I'm just like, ugh! Like, no, the nacelles aren't skis that go under the ship. They're boosters that go back and above. Why does it look like, oh, well, you know, I guess the future, and things don't have to look like how I want them to look, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Keith.
Kind of like puddle jumpers.
Stop overthinking. Just continue.
What do you mean? Puddle jumpers are perfect. There's nothing wrong with them. How dare you?
They're dorky cylinders with boosters on the side. And
it's a stupid name, too. John.
Mm-hmm.
John.
But I like forcing myself to have to like the designs that you're stuck with.
Of the puddle jumpers? Well, yeah. The time I like the design of the puddle jumper the most is at some point they dock it to like an ancient ship, and it just like connects and fits perfectly with the thing, and I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Cool. But since like we almost never see the jumpers in that perspective, it's kind of like, but why?
Yeah, they're very much,
they're not aerodynamic in any way.
The camera to see the crew, the camera to see the cast in the ship.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
which I'm yeah, but like it's not awesomely shaped like what a 305 or a Starfighter or the Millennium Falcon or, you know, something that has a little more pizzazz to its design. And same with the Miranda class. It's a little, it's like poor man's Enterprise upside down, which now I like.
But as a child, Keith was like, that's shenanigans.
I'm glad it got blown up.
Damn.
Puddle jumpers, by the way, are from Stargate Atlantis. If you haven't seen that, watch it.
Mm-hmm. I was like, Stargate, I missed that on Wrath of Khan. I didn't see puddle jumpers.
That fight, the duke out between the two ships, I loved it. Mm-hmm. I miss it when starships flowed like Navy ships, you know, slow and lumbering, and like, you know, to dodge, it takes a time, and like you have to, but you can still get broadsided.
Oh, yeah, no wonder you like Star Trek Online.
Yeah,
yes. I adore that they put so much time and work into simulating that. And I'm like, yeah, I appreciate it.
That's funny. You're like, yes, I appreciate that. And I'm like, oh, it makes playing too hard. I don't want to do it.
I know, frustrated the hell out of me when I first started playing Star Trek Online. I'm like, the ships move so slow.
Yeah, and then you add phasers on the side and you're like, oh.
Or if you get yourself a Defiant, then it kind of flips and flies around, and I was like, okay, I'm not going to use this one anymore. Flies like a starfighter, and that's not how capital ships should fly. Star Trek Nemesis. Starfighter bullshit. Capital fighters flying like starships. That's stupid. That's what a child does that. Anyway. Am I wrong? I mean, do you guys notice or care? Like, when you see, like, the Enterprise doing barrel rolls? And, like, it's like, stop it. It's not,
I do laugh at it.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it goes quite that far, but yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. As far
as... see.
It's like looking at where the thrusters are lit, and you're like, wait a second. That doesn't make sense.
You're just making it do whatever.
There's a lot of, fun. Like... a lot of the space physics in sci-fi bother me anyway, but like, actually they weren't that bad in Wrath of Khan. They're a lot worse in Into Darkness.
Yeah.
Which space physics did I get wrong?
Into Darkness?
Yeah.
There's a bit where they come out around Jupiter, and then they get shot at, and then they start falling into Earth's atmosphere.
Oh, wow.
Can someone explain to me how that happened? Because I don't know. Or also, they'll do this thing where like ships will stop in space, and I'm like, that's not... Oh, I remember. Okay, so a ship gets shot, and it starts like spiraling out, and then it just like slows down and stops, and I'm like, hold on, there's no friction in space, you guys.
I only allow friction in space in Star Wars. Star Wars, you're allowed to do it as much as you want. Star Trek,
yeah, but Star Wars doesn't even pretend to like believe in specific science. I mean, like it's got magic. Yeah. It's fine.
Parsecs.
Like
yeah,
whatever.
Parsecs.
You know that guy.
You can use the force to stop something in the middle of space. It's not friction, it's just the force! But Star Trek pretends to be about, like, the real rules of physics and stuff, so, like, at the very least, there's no friction in space.
Whatever. See, you know when Scotty brings that guy who's dying up to the bridge? Mm-hmm. Do you know why he's so sad?
It's his nephew or something, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a scene that got cut out that's his nephew, and... Yeah, otherwise, I like it without, because it just means that Scotty cares about everybody.
Crew. Yeah.
Scene where he's, like, on his deathbed, and he's like, Captain, you know, he's like, permission to depart, or something like that, and he's like, permission grant, or I forget exactly the thing, but he, like, grabs the captain, and he's like, Captain, is it okay if I die now? And the captain's like, yes, it is okay, and, you know, permission. But it's just...
We'd only said no.
It's so dramatic. Like, but the thing is, like, I don't know. It just... It was just kind of a weird scene, but it's still, like, I get it. It had an impact, you know?
It was just prepping you for the end of the movie with Spock.
Yeah, seriously.
The earbugs are the worst, most horrifying thing ever made in cinema history.
This freaked me out as a kid.
Yeah.
There are so many, like... slugs that take over people's brains in fiction. Yeah, like, what?
Just so it was even in Star Trek 2009 that he had to swallow it. It didn't go in his ear, but, you know, Captain Pike had the one. Yeah, it's like, it's everywhere.
Huh. And it's also in a movie called... Brain Fart! Ah, it's my favorite! Teen horror movie where these things slither across the floor and they go into your mouth and they lay eggs in your brain.
Ugh. Ah! Sounds terrible.
Oh god, it's so good.
Let's not go down that road.
sorry, but you definitely should see that movie, and it's called, I'll find out later, from the director of Monster Squad.
I love Monster Squad.
Anyway.
Sure. And then there's the Yurks from Animorphs, and then there's the Gwawld in Stargate, and then
I think about those things. Oh, Night of the Creeps. Is the slug movie.
Just terrifying parasites, you know.
Yeah, I think about those bugs so regularly throughout my life, because it just, every time I see like an earwig or something, if I put like a Q-tip in my ear, like I'll get a tiny flash of like, Jesus Christ, those things look painful.
Yeah, I've never even seen like earwigs actually be near ears, but just people saying that they were going to crawl into your ears when you were a kid was enough. Mm-hmm. Just horrifying.
My confusion on the earbug mechanics is the one guy kills himself. And then, I guess, like, if you just scream hard enough and endure the pain, it can just fall out of your ear? Is that how that can work?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Chekhov's came out, I know. That was a question I had as well.
Yeah, as a kid, I'm like, oh my god, the repercussions of him. Oh. Ah. He just shake up? Alright, I guess. Other guy should have held out a little while longer.
The whole thing is, if they're going to kill off Spock, they can't kill off Chekhov, too, because then everyone would be in an uproar.
Yeah. Everyone's dead. What's going on here?
People were in an uproar anyway, and so was I, because, like I said, they're more Kid Keith. Why are you killing somebody every movie? Like, do you have to do that? Why, like, you did this on purpose.
Just well, at least this time they didn't kill somebody and then, like, replace them with the robot version of them and be like, ah, it's basically the same as them being alive. Whatever, who cares?
Star Trek, The Wrath of Khan, written by George R. R. Martin.
Shit.
Oh, and the reason why Spock didn't stay dead is that he had so much fun doing Wrath of Khan. He was like, whoa, wait a second.
Never
like,
mind, I'll come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he got to the scene where he's like, oh, wow, this is it for Spock? Wait a second, guys, how about we do this? Mm-hmm. And yeah, they gave the opening. They did like a reshoot where he says, remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, because he had so much fun, he's like, don't kill Spock. I do want to come back.
I want to keep talking about that arc, but it goes into a different movie.
Yeah, I know. I know. Me too. So we'll save that for next podcast.
Oh, the Savic thing. Weird. Okay.
See. So, mm-hmm. Do you guys keep track of the laser tube prop?
Huh? No.
No.
No? Do you keep track of the laser tube prop?
Yes, I see the laser tube prop, and it keeps on popping up. First, I noticed it in The Last Starfighter. You'll notice, like, it's, like, on two sides, like, and then, like, you have a clear pipe between them.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, these lasers kind of shoot back and forth between them. And then, like, there's, like, these, like, black knobs you can twist that don't do anything. They're in this movie, and they're in The Last Starfighter, and they also show up in TNG episodes. Mm-hmm. And you'll just see them throughout movies. So I wasn't sure if anybody saw the light tube prop.
It's there. Cost saving somewhere. Nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
reuse props, reuse.
I was just talking to somebody about like what bottle episodes are for, and they're like, to save money for that big space battle you need at the end of this.
Yeah.
It is fun to notice those when they're happening. You're like, wait a second, bottle episode. All right.
And Star Trek does bottle episodes real well. Mm-hmm.
Was this the first time Kirk ever found out he had a son?
Yes, I think so.
Yep, indeed.
So in all the fiction, they're like, and this is here. There's nothing in the TV show or anything?
No, not at all.
All right, cool.
I don't, you know, honestly, so then, I could be wrong because I haven't watched all the TOS episodes, but I don't think Carol Marcus is brought up in the original series either. I think that she is new to this movie.
She is.
Oh, all right.
Yes.
I thought she'd have been a TV series person.
Kirk throughout the TV show has a lot of exes that he talks about. They're all like smart, accomplished women that are, of course, beautiful. But Carol Marcus doesn't come up amongst them. I believe the movie suggests that they were together at the academy. Or like right when he was teaching at the academy, rather. Because Kirk is described... Academy Kirk is described as a walking stack of books. Or a stack of books with legs, I think. There's an episode where his bestie from the academy talks about how, when he was still at the academy, he was just, like, a massive nerd, and, he student taught, one of the classes or something like that. He was teaching one of the classes, and his class was notoriously so hard that, said dude is like, that's why I set you up with that one girl. And he's like, what? I almost married her. And he's like, yeah, I set you up with her so that you would ease off on the grading.
Cool.
So Kirk's like very swaggery jerk reputation is really funny to me because it just like does not match.
Earlier, it seemed like you guys were indicating that Botany Bay is a reference to something.
Yep, it is.
And what's that?
The Botany Bay is the name of the ship that brought some of the prisoners to Australia.
Oh, damn.
That was the name. No, I'm wrong. It's the name of the encampment. Epic Botany. Let me look up.
Whoa, damn, if that isn't on the nose, drink.
That's not it. Okay, Botany Bay is a bay in New South Wales, Australia.
I think.
Yeah, so it was one of the encampments in Australia that they sent people
to
get rid of them. Yeah, so England ships people off to Botany Bay, and then they name the ship that they get rid of the people on the USS Botany Bay. That's what that represents.
Hmm. All right, on the
and that's
reference.
Why Botany Bay didn't really have any, like, there were no records of it. In Space Seed, they're like, the Botany Bay doesn't exist, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, there's no record of it.
Yep. They sent him out into space. They were like, Khan and his people sent him out into space. It erased all records so nobody would ever, like, search for them and find them.
Yeah.
Yep. Nice.
Which is why Kirk comes across them accidentally. Interesting thing about that episode, too. Originally, it was planned for him to be specific about having come from 200 years in the past. And Roddenberry was like, no, we don't want to give them any timeline that compares to now. One of his good decisions.
Yeah.
All right. They ended Christy up changing Alley, later, but... Christy Alley was best girl back in the day.
Oh my god.
I found her to be strikingly, shockingly beautiful, and alien beautiful.
Yeah.
So when she showed up in Cheers, it's like, oh my god, I get to see her every week. So yeah, I loved her as Savick, and I didn't notice she got replaced in the next movie. And
I mean, how forward thinking is it that I think she went by Mr. Savick, right?
That's what,
Which,
because that's what they call everybody in Star Trek, male or female, I'm pretty sure. Or was it Sir?
Sir. But no, Mr. Savick. Well, just, I think it, the way I perceive that is, you know, the whole, we're beyond, you know,
gender?
Yeah. And basically forward thinking, like, we're beyond gender. If that's how you identify, that's how you identify. And I always liked that. I always, you know, thought that was kind of cool.
Yep. I like my Star Trek post-racism and post-feminism. Absolutely. Where they go, nope, that's basics. Everybody does it. We don't need to talk about it anymore. We fixed that one, guys. Now we can just talk about neutron stars and
galaxies. Planets that explode, like, with no explanation.
Death Star.
They're dangerous. Gotta watch out for exploding planets.
You made this podcast, and you're referencing the wrong thing. Just kidding.
Well, we just switched genres. We're not genres, but, you know, we're going to Star Wars now. Keith, take us off.
Let's see. I love in Star Wars when Captain Kirk tricks Khan into dropping his fucking shield. Dumbass. Did you like that? Like, I love, like, how it played out, because... usually in movies and TV shows, if someone's lying, they make it too obvious, and I hate that. And
yes.
Here, they played it out so well. Like, getting his glasses out. Oh, one more moment. I'm like, oh my
Spock,
God, here it goes.
I love the interaction with Spock and everything. It was
Spock,
great.
Spock, keep nodding like I'm giving you orders. Yes, yes, Captain.
Okay. Yep.
Oh, my God. Captain. I've said that to my friends in bars when we're, like, talking about girls that aren't supposed to know that we're talking about them. Pretend I'm talking about something else. Got it. Guess that's where I got that from.
Beautiful.
No, that movie, I mean, Space Seed, obviously, is a great episode. It's one of my favorites of the original series, for a lot of reasons. And the movie itself is really good. You know, yes, it's slow, and yes, it has its issues, but the story, the writing, the acting, I mean, everything is just really, really good. Like, I love Wrath of Khan so much.
I'm so glad to. It was, like, Michael, you said this was your favorite?
Yeah, and I don't know if I can be friends with Jay anymore, because he said it was slow and, you know, there were some issues.
He's talking about the TV show.
No, I'm talking about both. I mean, come on. Like, look at... think about it. Look at current movies. This is a commentary about current films versus films of the 80s. Or TV of the 60s. Like, things were slower. They didn't have the technology or... Basically, everything is made now to, like, pull you in every, like, 30 seconds or every minute. Like, there's something going on, whether it's, the writing or visuals or, you know, just the pace. I mean, everything's so much faster now, it seems like, you know? So when I'm watching, I was watching it last night, and I watched last night. I was like, I got to watch it again before the podcast. So I was up to like 2 watching Space Seed and Wrath of Khan, because like, I want to freshen my mind.
I watched it this morning, so.
But it's just one of those things where the pace is slower than what I'm used to, because I'm used to newer movies, you know? So... That's all. Right. It's not a slight at the movie itself. The movie's amazing.
No, I know.
Yeah, it's just the...
No, I think this comes from... I pushed up my glasses. I think this comes from earlier days of when they made things, they're thinking more of like stage plays, and that's like where it was born from. So you get longer shots of people acting out like they would on a stage play. But as time goes on, you think more and more about the technology of editing, and then movies become playing to editing versus like just turning on the camera
and playing. And I'm going to push up my glasses and be the production nerd that I am. And, you know, you got to realize too that they were all made on actual film. So when you're cutting and splicing, you're literally cutting and splicing together two different film, like reels. And you know, it wasn't as easy as clicking and dragging and moving, and 5 seconds later you've edited a movie. You know, it took so long to edit actual film, you know, and to get the fades and the cuts and everything exact. I mean, it was an exact science, and it, you know, there were longer shots because they didn't want to have to cut so often because it was time consuming, you know, from a technology standpoint.
Yeah, I guess I didn't notice. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
I guess I didn't notice the slowness because I mean, I've seen it a bunch of times, so I love every little bit of it. But I love like the little quips where like Kirk is like, you know, you keep on quoting regulations, you know, and stuff like that to Sobek. Yeah. And I love all those little verbal, you know, back and forth that they have.
So. And then he says, "You keep quoting those."
Yeah.
Beautiful. That's like very much indicative of it being TOS as opposed to like TNG too. Where in TNG, if you had been like, "This is the regulation," Picard would have been like, "You're right, let's consider it seriously." Whereas Kirk is like, "Yeah, whatever, the regulations exist so that I know what decision to make. Fuck it."
He's just like, "This is damn peculiar."
Do you know what I did on the Kobayashi Maru? That's how I live my life. I
That's how I live my life.
I find ways.
Yep, and then the movie makes him pay for it. He never learned the wisdom of the no-win scenario. Yeah. Like, what happens when you don't win?
I don't believe in the no-win scenario.
God bless that lesson.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about Spock and his final scene? Are we not there yet?
I think we can skip along as we want.
Definitely. Yeah, skip along as you want.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Spock.
For me, it's like that. I mean, I can force myself not to tear up, but it's like, I don't know. Every time it's like I get goosebumps and like start tearing up. It's like, especially the, you know, "I have been and always will be or shall be your friend." It's like, it gets you right in the gut.
It's so epic.
Like,
I know.
Oh my God.
I know. Every time.
I feel like there's a pocket of time we didn't know there was a sequel, and that scene would destroy me.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, everything I saw about was just like, "Suck it up, motherfucker." Like, this is it. Like, this is everybody saying goodbye to Spock. He's not coming back. This is what life happens. And I love how much it destroys Kirk. Like, his son comes and tries to give him the speech that Kirk would normally give somebody else. Mm-hmm. And Kirk says the greatest thing. He goes, "Those are just words." Like, oh my God.
The good words.
Like, Kirk in depression, Kirk gives up.
Or when he gives his little speech, you know, at the send-off with the, you know, torpedo tube, and it's like, you know, he was the most human. I'm like, oh my God, stop it.
I'm crying. Ugly tears. I'm ugly crying. Stop it. I know.
Yeah.
What's real crazy, too, is the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. He says that a couple times in the movie. So, you know, it's kind of foreshadowed. You know what I mean? Like, which, you know, I'd forgotten about him saying it earlier in the film. For some reason, I only think of that end scene, you know, there, that end, his
that
end,
makes,
you know,
sense to me. Yep.
It's just, you know, every time I watch it, I find little things or remember little things where I'm just like, oh yeah, God, this is so good.
It reminds me of this Hitman comic book called Hitman, and featuring Superman. And the story is, Superman goes into a bar and is kind of sitting, he's just kind of bummed, and like, Hitman is a funny guy, and he sits down and is like, "Hey, you know what, other superheroes with their goofy stuff, I've never been a fan of those." And that's the writer talking to the character. He goes, "Superman, I've always liked your style." And then Superman tells a story where he goes, "So there I was, you know, on the space shuttle that's about to explode, and I thought I got everybody out, but then there's this guy who, there's no sound in space, he's behind something lead. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and the guy, I saw on his face, 'You're not going to save me, Superman.'" And, like, it was just like, and Superman gets to feel that moment. Kirk gets to feel that moment. Like, the Kobayashi Maru, what do you do to survive that moment where you're not fast enough? You're not going to make it. And yeah, like that he wasn't just like rah rah, and like how he was just like, I don't care about inspiration right now. This is just perfect to me.
I mean, we all kind of, you know, have our own little like make fun of the Kirk, Spock, I need your help. You know, like that whole thing. But in all honesty, yeah. Shatner's brilliant. I mean, just, and the movies are so good, and his acting is amazing, and you know, he's the Shat. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just is. It's so funny because we, like, you know, we'll kind of poke fun at the old school TOS Kirk, but in all honesty, like, Shatner's amazing.
Meme Kirk.
Yeah.
Meme.
Yep.
The Shat. Sorry, I just like saying that.
He's certainly something. The Shat is fun to say. I said he's certainly something. Have you guys ever listened to him doing Rocket Man?
Yes.
I love
Rocket.
It.
Fucking man. Precious. Just, man. Yeah. Dear God. I mean, it
it's so, like, bad, it's brilliant. It is,
I know.
Yeah, like, granted, Leonard Nimoy made that, like, Bilbo Baggins song.
Also awesome.
Yes, it was. Like, also awesome. But, like, they're funny for different reasons. Because, like, the Bilbo Baggins one's hilarious because it's just, like, it's Leonard Nimoy, so you're just like, Spock? But Bilbo Baggins. But then the Rocket Man's ridiculous because you're just like, Shatner, you're not even singing. Why are you, what? What are you doing?
Spoken word.
Yeah, that's,
baby.
Yeah.
Because I'm
the Bilbo Baggins sing. Man. Every time I hear it, I'm wondering what series of events led up to this?
To the Rocket Man or the Bilbo Baggins?
The Bilbo Baggins.
A bag
song,
of cash.
Like, yeah.
Why?
I'm Who guessing that song? It was related to the attempt to make The Lord of the Rings with the Beatles playing the Four Hobbits.
Oh my god.
Yeah, do you remember about that? Yeah, that was the thing that was going to happen.
Oh my god, that's sad.
Yeah, well, it didn't happen, so no problem there.
Dodge that timeline.
Dodge that timeline, exactly.
But I'm stuck in the one with The Last Jedi, damn it. Not this timeline, god damn it.
And Orville, son of a... I'm just kidding. Kidding. Just Orville kidding.
Is a reprieve from sadness. I guess, like, one of my last notes I have is just hearing... I love in movies, another thing that I love, there's several things I love in movies. When you say something to camera that says the scene is over and you punch the camera, it ends the scene. I love that. or when the heroes dive away from the explosion at the last second and, like, Kirk goes, "Go Sulu!" I'm like, yeah, man!
Oh, I know.
And they hit the warp at that.
I'm on my couch. I'm like,
shockwave,
yes!
Chases them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go Sulu!
Because you don't know. Maybe this time they don't make it. So when they do, you're like, yes!
Fine. Yeah. Yes!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe this time they don't make it.
You don't know.
Mm-hmm. But I did call it before Into Darkness came out. I said, oh, what? Are they going to do this scene where they swap Kirk and Spock around and one has to die and the other one gets to live? Are you going to do that one?
I hated that. I hate that.
You fucking did it.
It's funny, actually, because you already brought up the Last Jedi. I feel about Star Trek Into Darkness about the same way as I feel about the new trilogy versus the original trilogy. Like, they were like, okay, so we're going to take the thing that worked before, Urij Tridge or Wrath of Khan, and we're just going to remake it for now. Except we're going to change a couple things around. Yeah, just, like, shift a couple things around, and then we look at it again, and we're like, okay, so what you did is you copied the plot and then gave us the bits that we liked ruined, and then...
the bits that we liked ruined.
Yeah.
Really, so just copied the plot, and then the bits that we liked, you just made worse. I gotta say, like, I talk a lot of shit about Into Darkness. I think that...
Which it deserves.
Zachary Quinto and Chris Pine did a really great job. Like, their acting is amazing. I really feel emotional watching that last scene. But just, like, comparing Wrath of Khan and Into Darkness, I'm like, okay, you guys can do it. Sorry.
Not even...
Nope.
Respect for all the actors, not so much for the writers.
Yeah.
That is, once again, them wielding brand names versus doing the heart of
an unpopular opinion here, but I actually didn't think Benedict Cumberbatch was very good at Khan. Like, he was, he's not someone I would have cast as a Khan. He was a name. He was a name. You know what I'm saying?
It's hard to top
he was
Ricardo,
a name,
but
definitely.
Well,
So there's kind of like two parts of fandom. I talk about this sometimes. One is more like stats based, and it's like, you know, which ship is better, which ship do you think would win versus the Reliant or whatever. which captain is better for what reason, whatever. And then the other half of fandom is, like, exploring, like, fanfic and roleplay to, like, kind of explore the world further rather than talking about, like, what's already existing in the world. So I'm often in that part of fandom, and that part of fandom has a greater percentage of women, typically. But also just, it'll be younger depending on what website you're on. And at the time of Into Darkness coming out, I was on Tumblr. And it was really distressing to see the amount of people who took Khan's side because he was played by Cumberbatch, and they found Cumberbatch attractive because of Sherlock. And I get really disturbed whenever that happens, where people will start like not really differentiating between the actors and the characters. That weirds me out.
The way I do it with Stargate, because I call the actors the characters I love the most as.
No. Like, I don't find that weird. Like, I get it. When you see like Indiana Jones, you think. When you see Harrison Ford, you think of Indiana Jones or Han Solo. Like, I don't find that weird. What I find weird is when people are like, I find the actor attractive, and therefore anything that any of their characters do is fine.
That's
different.
Because they were like, Khan is great! Because they liked Benedict Cumberbatch. And everything he did is excused because they kidnapped his family. And I'm like, okay, hold on. There's a great quote from Brooklyn Nine-Nine for this. Cool motive! Still murder.
Cool motive.
Oh, I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yes,
that works.
It is a wonderful show. Yeah. I don't think it's that controversial an opinion, Jay.
That?
I don't think it's that controversial an opinion, but I certainly just blame the writer and director for the bad decisions more than any of the actors. Because inevitably, they get pulled on. When the project's already.
The thing is, I know he's he's an amazing actor, and I actually do like him. I just didn't like him as Khan.
Just not as that role.
That's fair. It just didn't vibe with me. And that, it just is what it is, you know? It's a personal thing. It's an opinion. People are, it's so funny.
What? Opinions are subjective?
It's so funny, like, how, I don't know. This is getting deep, so I apologize. But it's like, when did it not be okay to have your own opinion about stuff? This is just in general in the world.
Around new Star Wars.
Around
Star Wars.
It applies. This applies. I'm not even kidding. This isn't just sci-fi. This is life. But have you noticed that there's so much more animosity toward having differing opinions? It just, like, it blows my mind. When did that happen? I mean, I thought it used to be celebrated that people could have...
I think it was a gradual change.
They used to have debates, like debate teams and debate people to debate different opinions or different...
it's like we used to realize that any two side will eventually, both sides will have problems and both sides will be better at something.
But
like,
it's just,
I mean, like, that's not always true. There are some
My time through the Power Ranger fandom, where we used to argue, there'd be arguments about like what show is better or Japanese versus American stuff. But I swear, like, it was around the new Star Wars that changed like brutally. Because like before then, I feel like this kind of stuff was smaller scale and it's just us dorks talking about it. But once new Star Wars hit, like, there are all these news articles that made it so that your opinion on the thing also expresses your political standing. So that it stopped being about, like, like, here I am trying to talk about stats. I'm talking about the plot, how the plot's written. And then there are people, like, saying, how dare you tell me how the plot is written? Are you telling me because I'm a woman? I'm like, no! What the hell? What's happening here? And, I thought we hit a golden age where everybody was going to be talking about starship stats and shit. And it's like, so, you see, it doesn't make sense because the Star Destroyer is way faster than people, like, don't care. And I see blank looks and people change the subject. I'm like, it was around then where it became, entertainment became more closely to your political stance versus a conversation of why you have that political stance. And then that brought in, like, people just smashing, like, how dare you? Because, like, I remember on Facebook, people were just like, they thought it was weird. They're like, who are you, Keith, to critique this. You're not a filmmaker. I'm like, wait.
You have to be a filmmaker to critique thing. Films now?
Yeah, I was like, that's never been a thing. But I, from what I observed, I was like, and like, I was watching like this. I was like, observing, like, wait, what's changing here? And what I think, what I saw change massively around that time is that the entertainment industry of writers became linked, probably through advertising, to the movies themselves. Versus while we were coming up through the internet, it was just dorks talking shit as much as they wanted to about the industry.
And, well, and loving each other's opinions. Like I would love having those conversations. Yeah. You know?
We're still having
those conversations. We are, but I mean, you know, and there, don't get me wrong, this isn't a generalization where everyone, you know, not everyone does this. But
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm just giving you a hard time.
But, but I, you know, it's a toxic world out there these days, you know? So, I mean, that's why, and it's so funny, and I brought that up because I'm like, oh, you know, here's my unpopular opinion. I didn't really like Benedict Cumberbatch. And I know people, like, love him and like, oh, how dare you? Oh, he is the blah, blah, blah. Like, how dare you? It's like, no, like, I'm allowed to think that. So I actually had to kind of, I always pause when I say stuff like that, which is stupid because I didn't used to do that. I get frustrated by it because I'm like, why am I overthinking this? It's my opinion.
I've been on the, so I haven't said it out loud, but that's been kind of like my crusade. I've been on a crusade against that. That's why I talk about Star Wars too much or the racial whatever. Because like there's like this point where I was like, I'm afraid to talk about Star Wars. I'm afraid to give a bad opinion right now because of what will happen. That's not how it's supposed to be. Yeah. Therefore, I was like, this is my opinion again.
Yeah.
Try something. This is my opinion again. And like what I've been trying to do on my Facebook is wake people up to know you're supposed to talk about fiction. That's the fun
Absolutely.
Of it.
Absolutely.
And it's never an attack. It doesn't have to be.
Nope.
You can just have fun with it. And that's why I do it too much, because I'm trying to wake people
up
to this isn't how you do fiction.
Yeah, you're right. As a writer, when I write a story, there's two purposes to do that. Purpose one is, you know, to kind of work through a possible emotional situation. Like, because if I find catharsis through my writing, then hopefully the person reading it will also find catharsis. That's why I'm always like, my goal is to make you cry. but secondarily, it's to ask questions, not to give answers. So if the fiction is asking a bunch of questions about the world around you, and then you're refusing to engage with anybody else about those questions, then like, because you think that your answer is the only right answer, then like the fiction can't do the thing that it wants to do, which is, you know, engage you in a conversation about the world around you.
Which is why I suspect, like, ever since like I saw in Last Jedi that shot of Luke Skywalker just looking like shit, standing over Kylo Ren, I was like, he's doing this on purpose. Like, this shot, the way he framed it and everything, it is to hurt my feelings. And like, people, like, you know, we're still in that mindset of like, no, you should only praise or be quiet. And I was like, no.
No. Wants, only praise or be quiet does
wants,
not work. Not in real life.
He wants us
not
to
in
be
fiction.
Doing this. So, yeah, I speak up, and that's the fun of fiction. Speaking up about it and saying what you feel and think. And, like, also, my opinion can always be changed. Like,
good.
I'm still waiting for The Last Jedi to reveal itself as something as a good thing. Or am I seeing that my favorite hero director can be flawed? Which I'm still...
Yes.
I'm still we don't know this
Both
yet.
Both of these things can be the case simultaneously as well.
True, true. But, like, yeah, I'm waiting for my next time watching The Last Jedi to find out, so, Rian Johnson, did you fuck up? Or did you do this on purpose because you're a genius, like I've always suspected, and there's other layers that I'm not seeing? But, like, yeah, from what I'm seeing, it definitely was likely very much both, because I saw videos of him, and he did not look happy or well, and, like, he said out loud, like, defeatist things. I was like, no, Rian, you did brick. You're not that guy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Actually, I have a bunch of things.
Okay. Shocking. Just kidding. Sorry.
Shocking. Yeah,
I was
going to
say that.
Let me talk about Last Jedi specifically for a sec. And Rian Johnson. I think I can understand why you're so upset about it, because I feel like all the decisions that were made for the new thing were meta. The meta decisions.
Yes.
Like, Rian Johnson wasn't trying to serve the story of the original trilogy. He was trying to just go against what JJ was doing in the previous movie. It was just like, yeah, it's stupid of you to repeat this, so I'm going to do the opposite just to, like, get you away from that without actually serving the story itself. Some of the stuff he did I liked, some of the stuff he did I didn't like, but yeah, it does feel like it was a decision made not about the story, but about the greater world that he is currently in.
Yeah.
I certainly understand an independent filmmaker getting really frustrated when they make a project for a company like Disney, and all of a sudden, like, all of their ideas have to go through, like, this ringer of people's opinions, and it has to fit certain molds and stuff like that. So I feel like it was probably a rebellion more than anything, but it is unfortunate that it, you know, dragged Star Wars down with you.
I thought, yeah, I saw that too. I was like, you could not have missed this, Rian. And, like, so, like, it took a while for it to dawn upon me that, like, not everyone can write fantasy. Like, I thought, like, Rian Johnson, to me, he's one of the best writers I've ever seen. Therefore, if he wants to, he should be able to shift that talent to being the equal to Tolkien and write fantasy space opera. And let's do this. And I saw nothing of fantasy space opera. Well, we could talk about it when we review the movie.
Yeah, I just don't think it proves much about what Rian, like, could do in that setting, because it was just so controlled by Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right down to his fights. The fight scenes weren't his philosophy. He has a philosophy about how you're supposed to do fight scenes. I have that, too. So me and him are like brothers. And they didn't do his philosophy at all in any of the fight
scenes. You have to tell us what the philosophy is, Keith.
The philosophy is like a fight is like, if you like, have you guys ever been into martial art movies? That like a geek thing you guys went
Not
down?
Really, no.
Martial arts movies? No. I'm, aside from like Karate Kid and stuff, like, I've watched the Mushu movies, obviously, but...
So, like, one of the big things is that, like, if you're doing a good fight scene, it's a discussion between two characters. So, when you watch a kung fu movie, like, the fun of seeing the fight play out is, like, you're seeing the philosophy of the two people go back and forth.
Oh, yeah, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon is an excellent example of that.
Yeah, yeah, you get to see more about the person and why they're fighting and, like, the situation around
them. And bringing it back to Khan, it's like that discussion you have at the table where they're, like, outsmarting each other, except during a fight.
Yep, and even during their actual fight, you saw who they were as people and their fighting styles.
Yes.
And then The Last Jedi, it was action spam. Like, all they did was just steamroll the guards. And it's like... I didn't hear anything about who they are as people. Mm-hmm. Why is Kylo Ren even weaker? Are you guys doing this or not? And yeah,
the only fight that was specific about like people's behavior, I guess, was the one where it was Rey and Kylo against the red dudes, and that's only in that like, oh look, we have teamwork now.
Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, like, I saw nothing of her except for that she's so awesome. And then like the fight with Finn and Phasma's trash. Like,
oh no, that
well, they dropped the ball. Like, they dropped the ball on Finn.
But they go to Wrath of Khan. their starship battle was just played out. Like, on the Enterprise, you got a group of seasoned veterans and friends working together. Like, you got Scotty in the engine room pushing more than like Khan could get his people to do. You got Spock and Kirk talking about strategy in ways that, like, Khan isn't talking to anybody. He says, full power! Damn you!
Yes! Get Kirk.
That was a good Khan.
That's another excellent example of the difference between them, because Khan thinks he's the smartest, most amazing person in the whole world, so he only makes his own decisions, and he's incapable of seeing his own flaws, because there's nobody he respects enough to take their opinions seriously when they point them out. Meanwhile, Kirk surrounds himself with people whose opinions he takes seriously.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's why they win.
Like, yeah. Like, when you see, like, it add up of all these things that lead to the win, that's a victory. Like,
yeah.
When Luke Skywalker is on the trench run and, like, Darth Vader's like, I have you now. What? And, like, Han Solo, my favorite thing in any movie ever, shoots out of the sun for the save. It's because Luke was a bro who made a bro. He made friends, and that's, like, saved the day.
Yes.
Versus the new movies where Poe in Force Awakens, he just flew in there and blew it up. Just flew in there and blew it up. Like,
I see where you're coming from. Yep, yep, yep.
So yeah,
Fight
philosophy is important.
Yeah.
And does Ramyun ale have THC in it? Because I liked how Bones says it's medicinal.
Well, everyone knows.
No, that was his. That was
everyone
a
knows
joke.
Ramyun ale is illegal. That's, so yeah. If it's illegal, it has to be medicinal to be able to use
medicinal.
It. So.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
I love how McCoy. I love how McCoy is like, he's a brilliant doctor. There's a couple of episodes, you know, where he just like comes up with solutions that, like, you know, the magic doctor thing that happens in Star Trek. And then meanwhile, he's just like super encouraging of people drinking way too much.
he's very much a maverick.
He'll let that one go.
He's
we'll
awesome.
Let that one go.
Let it go. It's one of his wonderful qualities. Yeah. What do you mean?
I love it.
Wait, hold on. He's very supportive.
The last note I have
in a kind
down
of insulting,
is...
jerky way.
the last note I have written down is that those radiation suits in engineering, I always associate with being horribly burned. Mm. Like, whether the person's burned or not, like, that suit means you're going to get horribly burned. Is
I mean, yeah.
What always comes to my mind.
Not wrong. Jer, Michael, did you have anything specific you wanted to talk about?
to wrap it up?
I mean, because Keith was reading through his notes, did you have any notes you wanted to talk about?
I'm upset that we didn't talk about Khan's wicked hair game, both in the movie and in Space.
Yes.
Excellent. Hell, let's talk about Khan's hair
dope.
Game. Montalban just has like the... He looks like he has a fan on him sometimes. Like,
right? He's always got that blown hair, wind in the hair, wind in the hair look. But yeah, no, I talked about all my highlights for Khan and everything. You know, I just think, yeah, Khan is like one of the best, you know, on-screen villains, not just in Star Trek, but in all, you know,
period.
All movies, I think. Not the best, but one of them, yeah. Yeah, I could watch it. I could go watch it again right now.
Just might, yeah.
All right, let's go.
All right.
But we have to watch Sir Spock next so that we can see Chris Lloyd.
Yeah, that's
a Klingon.
Woo-ha! So that I can experience once again little kid Keith getting pissed off that why do you keep killing people when they kill his son? Spoiler alert. Like,
spoiler alert.
Introduced him
on like
one
87.
Spoiler movie alert. Ago.
Oh my god!
You introduce him one movie ago and you kill his only
that's
son?
Fucked up, yeah.
Why did you do that movie?
Yeah, that's right. So, thanks for reminding me of this, because I thought a couple times about talking about it, but I forgot. Speaking of spoiler alerts, you said earlier how, like, Ron Barry had kind of released that Spock dies, and they were like, oh, no, he totally doesn't.
Yep.
My dad, when he was young and the movie was coming out, was at a premiere. He was in line for one of the premieres in Montreal. And it was one of these, like, there was a shock jock, you know, like, entertaining the line before the movie started. And he actually gave away the ending. He gave that away. He said it.
Ouch.
Like, who could have thought that Spock would die before the movie started on stage in front of everyone?
That is terrible.
My dad's still mad about it.
I would be, too.
And I mean, yeah, fair enough.
Jeez.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I was really upset, but did find, like, I think they reshot the ending because, like, everybody was, like, really depressed about that ending, and they reshot, like, making it a little more uplifting with, like, the music and, like, the rising sun, and also, like, they reshot and made sure you saw, like, that casket was there to hint that maybe he'll come back.
Yeah.
Interesting. But yeah, the way it played out, like, I love, like, how it destroyed me. The music was just orchestral and uplifting, and then like a shooting star he shot out of the Enterprise and makes the sun rise around
I love that.
Spock, God bless it, Spock reading the, you know, space, you know, the final frontier at the end.
Oh man, I know. You know what I mean, even at the end of the movie I think Kirk even says something about how like, see you soon, Spock, or see something about Spock not being fully gone. He, like, mentioned something because it was a planet of, you know, of life out of death, or something. So, like, he hinted, I forget the exact phrase, but he hinted something.
Well, he had already gotten the script for Star Trek 3, so he knew
exactly.
He was going to... No, I know what you're saying. I can't remember what he says either, exactly.
A long-running thing with me and Star Trek is points lost if the episode or movie ends and I don't see the Enterprise go into war. Yeah. So, yeah, points lost on this one where the camera just goes into the stars. I'm like, oh, okay, you guys are good.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I would have liked the Enterprise going to warp at that end. I kind of like them sitting there.
I agree as a on a film level, but on my points level.
Okay, okay. Yeah, that's fair enough. Your point system is your point system.
How dare anyone write something that isn't geared 100%.
You're not allowed to have an opinion!
Toward you, Keith.
No opinions here.
Make me clap at the end when it goes into warp. That's what you do at the end of every episode.
No, he can't go into warp because then he'll be leaving Spock behind.
Well,
and
that's the climax Spock's, for me.
And
that's,
Spock's that's voiceover what wouldn't have worked the same if they were going in warp. I'm just saying.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Like at the end of Undiscovered Country, like I kind of like grit my teeth just a little bit because you could have done it. But they made it fly into like some kind of symbolic sun instead, and it's like
just go to warp, man. Just go to warp. Adventure, adventure.
Some of the flashing lights in that
fun fact. I just got to throw this out there because it's adorable and cute. Speaking of warp, so my son talks about spaceships like Enterprise and the Phoenix and you know all these ships as if they're real, and he's like, "Dad, I'm gonna make the first warp ship. I'm going to make it. I know you say they're nice. Fiction and then no, I'm going to make it. That's what I'm going to do when I grow up. Like I'm going to go to warp when I grow up."
That is so adorable.
I'm sorry, Jay. So what you're telling us is that your son is Ephraim Cochran?
Yeah. He does. I know.
Excellent.
No, perfect. I know. I feel like I'm doing a pretty awesome good job doing the whole dad thing cuz I'm like, "Yes, son. Yes."
Hell yeah. Shit.
Yes, yes. B is Ephraim Cochran. Okay, so get him in math classes. We'll see how he likes physics. And
I know, and right? He is very much a science kid. He loves science. So we haven't done like the super strict math stuff yet, but he's very into science, which I'm super down with.
Excellent. Good work, Jay.
Do it, Jay.
He sounds like he'd been a fun kid to play with as a kid. Like, yeah, this is the guy I'm calling up, and we're going to like play spaceship on my porch. You're welcome to come over.
We have some fun over here.
Play spaceship on the porch.
That was the favorite game back in the
day. I mean,
train the porch into a spaceship.
Yeah, I definitely have nothing to say against that. Me and my brother, when we were like 5 or 6 or whatever, my parents had bought a new fridge. We stole the fridge box so that we could go down the stairs in it and pretend that we were like shooting off into space. So yeah, been there.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Good call.
Yep. Sliding parents, down the stairs.
Your poor parents. That sounds horrifying.
My poor parents.
As a kid, that is a genius idea.
Yep. We're a little terrorists, but it's okay.
Well, that's all I got for.
Where do you rank Wrath of Khan in your Star Trek movies?
For me, it's Keith? Number one. Oh, sorry.
Michael, I know it's number one. You told it. Excellent.
Did I say it was number one? It is number one.
It is, yeah. Keith, I know Undiscovered Country is your favorite. What?
There's Undiscovered Country, the motion picture, and Wrath of Khan. They are always duking it out in the top three.
Okay.
And yeah, so
a three-way tie for first.
I might say it is number. Oh man, yeah. It could go from anywhere from two or three.
Okay, definitely top three.
That's my favorite. Mm-hmm.
So, another unpopular opinion, but my favorite Star Trek movie period is Insurrection. I'm a big sap. I'm a big sap.
Wait, are you joking?
You like the Borg? Yeah, we get like, it. We get it.
Well, no, no, no. What? Insurrection isn't the Borg. Insurrection is when
the people
try to destroy the rings around the planet because they have healing properties, and the admiral is working with them and. So, and Picard has this, like, beautiful love connection scene with one of the Baku, I think their name was.
Well, it turns out I don't actually remember.
They, like, stop time. You know, it's this beautiful, beautiful thing. I'm a big softy. I'm a big, like, sap. I love stories. So, yeah.
I get it. I probably just haven't seen it since the 90s.
That just blew my mind, Jay.
Insurrection.
Is it legit?
It's my favorite Star Trek movie. I like Star Trek to this day when I watch it.
That's awesome.
It's a beautiful movie. You know, it gets shit on a lot because it's like not
Yeah. All right, we'll get there but eventually.
It's a beautiful movie.
As no slight against you whatsoever, I am also part of the shitting on party. I've had a great time.
No, a lot of people do. It's fine. And we're all allowed to have our opinions. But I love Insurrection. Wrath of Khan and Undiscovered Country are my next two favorites. And they, it's tough because I'd say Wrath of Khan is probably my second. But Undiscovered Country, I was a little older when it came out. And it was, you know, they went back in time and things were kind of like, you know, like in our regular world, you know, and they're in San Francisco and Voyage Home. I was brain fart. Yeah. Voyage Home is, so Wrath of Khan and Voyage Home are the two that,
I thought we were going to bond over Undiscovered Country. I thought we were about to bond over Undiscovered Country.
That wasn't going to happen after I said Insurrection was my first favorite.
I'm like, I need to go watch Insurrection again because I'm like, really? It's over Wrath of Khan? But I mean, you know, no judgment. I need to go watch it again.
I just love it. It's something, and you know, okay. Something too that I really love about that movie is a lot of it's filmed in Mammoth Lakes, California, which I've visited I fucking love Mammoth Lakes. It's absolutely phenomenally beautiful up there. And it's one of those things where the movie's beautiful. It's got a love story. It's filmed in this amazing, beautiful place that I have kind of a connection to. So, you know, it's just got, it checks all the boxes as far as like the feels, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. Real quick, Jay, I'm going to throw out a movie title and just say yes or no. If you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Okay. Ready? Somewhere in Time.
I've seen
I think I know it.
I was going to say it's kind of like it's more romance, you know, than this sci-fi, but it's got Christopher Reeve in there and time travel and stuff.
I feel like we talked about that movie previously.
It's one of these. If we did, it wasn't on the podcast, so I don't know if you guys did or not. But it's one of those like time travel romances. Like that's a very specific genre that I'm actually kind of fond of. I'm not usually a fan of romance movies, but like Somewhere in Time is really fun.
Yeah. Did you all, I mean, I know we're
good,
we're
I don't know what
we think about, away from Star Trek, but did you all ever watch Frequency, that movie? The guy goes, and he talks to his dad through like a ham radio in the past and like saves his dad from dying. Yeah. It's
awesome.
Like that movie.
Yeah,
dude. But that's just it. Like my heartstrings, like my feels. That's what connects me to a movie. Yeah. It's not about visuals, and I mean, to some extent, it's about writing. But more than anything, it's about my emotional and, you know, like connection to it. Like
right, because the writing will affect your emotional response.
I feel like we couldn't watch movies together, Jay, because we'd be like ugly crying, holding each other. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, I always ugly cry.
My wife used to think it's hilarious because that movie, A Walk to Remember, you remember with Mandy Moore? I watched that like 3 times in a row and I was bawling. And my wife was like, "You are hilarious." I'm like, "Don't judge me."
Well, sometimes I'll watch like the scene from TNG where Data's daughter dies. And sometimes I'll watch that and start ugly crying. And my my wife was like, "Why do you watch that?" I'm like, "Because sometimes you just need to cry."
Exactly.
You know? It was a good scene.
Absolutely. So no, it's Speed Racer is that. I have a different connection to movies and TV than a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. You know? Very cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
I loved hearing someone who actually likes Insurrection.
I mean, I'm going to go watch it again.
People are probably going to get on the Discord and like be like, "What are you talking about?" But hey,
Jay,
you
what
know
the heck?
What? Unpopular opinion. I'll take it. I love that. I love that movie.
Respect.
I absolutely love that movie.
It's a good thing to have.
I learned very early on that having an opinion that's popular does not make it good.
Yeah, exactly.
Movie. It's just, God, it's such a good movie.
Well, I Michael's right here. You should definitely watch someone.
We'll do.
Yeah, it is really
good.
Did
you the Time Traveler's Wife? Do you remember that one?
I liked that one. Yeah,
there you go.
It's a great one. It was a great one. Yeah,
that was really good.
I do quite like movies that have time travel. That's like not people traveling, but like the communication somehow travels.
Yeah,
that's
fun. Time After Time. Do you guys know that one?
No.
That one's good. It has it's H.G. Wells who is going. like Jack the Ripper steals his time machine and goes into the future, and so H.G. Wells has to go and hunt him down.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
It's really
okay,
cool.
Okay, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Do you want... Have you guys ever seen Primer?
No.
I feel like I have.
Primer is a time-traveling movie that will give you a nosebleed and make you pass out after
it's over.
Is that
with the box?
And then it is so brutally complex, but it gets everything right.
Wait, what was that one called again?
Okay.
Primer.
Is that one the one with the box they crawl in?
Although whenever people say a movie gets everything right, I'm like, okay, let me see about that. But
go for it. Yeah, this one is solid, and it rewards repeat watches, mm-hmm. whatever.
Repeated viewings, yeah.
There you go. It rewards that, and also doing a little more research to confirm that, oh shit, they did line everything up.
Okay, that's a good one. All right. I'm always fascinated by movies that manage to trick me during mm-hmm. the duration.
Anything having to do with time travel just gets me, because in a personal mm-hmm. thing, since I never really knew my dad, because he died when I was like 9 months old, I have always had this mm-hmm. dream of being able to somehow like at least see him or hear his voice at some point, because I don't even know really what his voice sounded like, you know? So anytime there's like this mm-hmm. like... That's why Frequency is actually one of my favorite movies, is because it has to do with him reaching his father in the past, you know? And, oh, man, talk about ugly crying. So, it's one of those things where it's just it's like a core thing that I've just, my entire life has been about, because I never knew him and I never, you know, so I'm always going to fight, like, that lovey-dovey stuff, the time travel stuff, like, that stuff just gets me, you know? It just... Yeah.
Yeah, that's just one of your personal, like...
That's why I'm more about the emotion and how I feel when I watch something than the visuals or the... You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Well, I feel like that's more common, too, than you might be thinking, because, like... Let's think about one movie that's primarily visuals that everybody really liked when it came out. Avatar. The blue one, mm-hmm. not the last Airbender.
I did not like it, by the way.
James Cameron's Avatar. You didn't? That's fine. I wasn't a big fan of it either. But it was extremely popular with movies in the movie theater, because it was like the new 3D technology was really good. Everybody was super amazed. But then, like, once it went to DVD, like, nobody bought it.
Because it's not a good movie.
It's just like Dances with Wolves, except it's really purple.
I like it.
Hey, Dances with Wolves is a good movie.
Dances with Wolves in space.
It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. It's very pretty. And I just didn't feel like it was as... like solid as some of
it was on the screen.
Definitely, like,
Keith is holding himself back
on the screen.
in the theater, that was an experience.
It was an experience in theater.
Yeah,
like, it was nice. There's a shot where there's like a thing that's in the foreground, and then it has all your attention, and everything else is blurry. And I remember thinking that was really funny with 3D things. Like, what if the person watching the movie decides to focus on the background? back to Star Trek. Okay, so it's top three for the two of you. Michael, it's your favorite one. Michael, what's your second favorite?
It goes between Undiscovered Country and Voyage Home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those are... I love Undiscovered Country a lot, but I love Voyage Home, too, just because of the humor, and it's just totally different from the other movies. So those go back and forth as my number two and three.
Yeah. I don't really have a 1-2-3. I have a 1-2. Wrath of Khan and Voyage Home are definitely my two faves.
Nice.
Wrath of Khan is the one that I watch when I want to see something like a little more like aggressive and combat-y, and then Voyage Home is the one that I watch when I want to see like dumb shenanigans.
Double dumbass on you.
Double dumbass on you.
God, I love that movie.
Exactly.
That was awesome.
The punk, somebody just like walks up to him, turns his music off, like, stop. Stop it. These are not the Hell Your Whales!
My memory says I didn't like it, but when I rewatched it recently, like maybe in the last couple of years, loved it. Home? It was so much fun. I still like going back to Earth.
Oh, yeah. I know you don't.
Yeah.
But just like the super discomfort of everybody like trying to exist in Earth is really funny. Like one of my favorite, I'm not even sure I would call it underrated moments. I'm sure a lot of people really like this moment, even if it's really small. But one of my favorite moments in that movie is when Scotty picks up the fucking mouse and tries to talk to it.
Yeah. Hello, computer.
Hello, computer. Hello.
Just precious. We'll see Voyage Home soon. It's two movies away.
Yeah.
Catch us in a month for like the Voyage Home episode, y'all.
I liked how they're so smart that they can hit like four keys on the keyboard and create like material that's never been created before.
On Earth. Somehow.
And they're like, oops, sorry. Delete. Ah!
Oops, our bad! And they're like, them trying to sneak onto the sub, and then obviously the military's like, wait, hold on, what? Precious. Whatever. Wrath of Khan is a great movie, I guess. That's what we're really saying.
Yes, it is. Right down to the soundtrack. Yeah. I love the battle music. Ugh.
Good stuff.
Yeah. You know, we don't really... TV shows don't really have orchestrational compositions in the US anymore. Mm-hmm. And that makes me sad. Like, the BBC shows still have those.
But, yeah.
I don't know. It's weird, too, because anime also does it. Like, well, they'll have, like, these super well-written, like, classical music style soundtracks, and I'm just like, alright. Yeah. Okay.
A lot of American shows don't even have, like, the intro theme song anymore.
Yeah. Oh, well. Changes change. Some things will be better and some things will be not as great, subjectively.
Maybe some things will come back.
Maybe some things will come back. Fingers crossed. We haven't really talked about it, but I'm sure everybody knows about it by now. The Pike show is being made.
Yes.
After all.
So excited. Yeah.
I'm not going to make any decisions about it until
you know I already left.
But they're planning on doing it episodic, so that's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm.
That'll be cool. My problem will be, as always, stop going backwards, please. Yep. I don't need to fill in the blanks ever. All I want is to see what happens after Voyager.
I do love that actor, though, so that should be cool.
Well, he was fully on board. I was like, please, they got to make a shot at this, because he was so good.
He's very charismatic.
He was so good. And he's amazing. Rebecca Romijn and... Spock, and I mean, just that whole arc.
I gotta laugh that it took us 60 years to actually be able to have them.
Right, I know. But it's, I know. Okay. They were so good, and I was like, this guy needs, we need this show. Like, it's gonna be so good. I'm calling it.
That's definitely why I'm torn about it.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. Well, you're more easily entertained. I know, which is definitely not a bad thing. I think I'm too.
I'm not sure if it'll be good or not because like they still have like a lot of the main people behind it, but it is a reaction to what everybody's been a lot of people have been asking for. Mm-hmm. Like, can we get like a good captain, not a captain that's an asshole and turns out to be the bad guy at the end?
Yeah.
Can we get this? Can we get that? And they are doing that.
I'm actually still salty about them being like, hey, this actress that you love is going to be the captain. Oh, just kidding. Two episodes and she's dead.
Right. Yeah.
You mean Michelle Yeoh? Yeah. Michelle Yeoh.
Like, I'm glad they brought her back for the Voyager show, but... Can you give me a show where she's just the captain? Yeah. I think that would be amazing.
I'm excited about her Section 31 show.
I don't think she's too happy
still
about
not
that.
Sure. Yeah,
that
I'm still not sure what that's going to be happens. Like. That's one I'm actually not sure of.
We'll see if it's still happening.
Fair enough. Well, you know what's funny is every time I cancel my CBS All Access, they're like, what is your reasoning? I was like, because there's no more new Star Trek. And
they're like, we'll bring you more
Star
Trek.
That's like what it is.
Yeah,
like,
I think they're getting
so
that a
they
lot.
They have to bring stuff out regularly. Like, if they had Star Trek content throughout the year, they would make so much money. So they're smart to do this. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that, yes, you want to make money from it and you want it to be successful. But at the same time, you still need to do it right. You know what I mean? So
yeah it's kind of, do it well, it's kind of the issue that's going on right now with all the companies trying to, like, make... long-lasting repetitive things so that you have to keep coming to them. We could thank Disney for that. They piloted that with Marvel and Star Wars. And in bringing back that conversation, that thing that you said quite a while ago, Keith, I really think about how, like, now if you have a negative opinion, it's because you're a racist or sexist or whatever. Yeah. It definitely has a lot to do with a combination between the news cycle becoming 24 hours mm-hmm. with the internet, and then like every company trying to put out articles constantly mm-hmm. to get your attention, not to mention the YouTubers that just like make shit up. Looking at you, we got this covered.
The mix of the, the mix of the 24-hour news cycle. That's part of it.
So it's that combined with the fact that, and I think you're right, corporations are, like, releasing, if you don't like our work, it's because you're a bad person morally, and not because you actually don't like the thing itself, in an effort to, like, kind of force people to be pro whatever they are.
And nerd news websites used to be geeks talking shit as much as they wanted to, and then eventually it evolved into the industry of professionals that do have to worry about their paychecks and advertising, and sometimes that advertising does come from the corporations. They're all part of the same network. For sure. It's
It is unfortunate. And then my personal concerns about the. Pike show are I'm kind of stuck between the two of you. So I do think he's a charismatic actor, and the characters are interesting, but at the same time I'm frustrated definitely by the thing that Keith is frustrated about, where like they were like Discovery is 10 years before TOS, and I was already like why whatever. So Pike showed up in season 2 of Discovery, so that was 9 years before TOS, and therefore so this is gonna be him piloting literally like right before Kirk takes over the ship. Kirk is certainly a lieutenant, if not a lieutenant commander at this point. I have a feeling that they're gonna bring him in, so just with how close it is to TOS, that stuff stresses me out.
Someone's entering the room, so you guys will start hearing. We want to wrap this
we're just about to wrap up. Sorry guys.
Cool. All good.
Anybody else have anything else they want to say about Wrath of Khan, Space Seed, how great Ricardo Montalban is?
Yes, he is great.
And he has a nice chest too, apparently. It's a real one.
Yeah. And nice hair.
And a nice, nice person holding a fan on him while he's going.
Great.
I think Big Bad Guy and Starship Dukeouts are great formula, but you do not. I don't think that should be the core formula of what Star Trek is, and that's what kind of came to be after. I think starting with Generations, is that when they just kept on doing like Big Bad Guy and
I think the sign of the times changing with how people, wrote or made movies and trying to keep people engaged, you know, the fast pace.
I want to see Star Trek duke it out with Interstellar.
That'd be amazing.
Yes, definitely. Because Star Trek right now is being treated kind of like as one of the Star Wars Marvel kind of franchises. Whereas I really feel that it needs to be paid attention in the way that like hard sci-fi is. I would like that. I acknowledge that that's not really the history of Star Trek. I want more plots like Interstellar Shenanigans, where it brings in like questions not only moral but philosophical. Rather than just like, this person bad me, shoot.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Agreed.
GG's. GG's, everyone. Right.
And V'ger was supposed to be a god. V'ger was supposed to be a god that demands worship and was the source of all religion. And it was coming back to her saying, remember me, I'm God and all Yahweh and all those other religions? That was me. I want you guys to worship me again. And the Enterprise says, fuck you, dude, and shoots it instead.
Wow.
Jeez.
That was the original first
one. Wow.
So funny.
I actually kind of like that. Yeah. I think that might have been interesting.
All right.
Kind of. Well, as always, y'all can find us at 4hosts on Twitter. That'll be Michael, of course. We have a Discord that we can link you to.
Then go to our Twitter page.
A friend of mine was asking for that link recently.
Please come hang out with us. We might start doing episode watches. Yep.
I actually, just let me put this out there. I am planning on starting doing watch-alongs on my Twitch channel. I haven't decided the day and time yet, but I want to start with the original series and kind of go up. And so at least once a week, I'm planning on doing a watch along for at least a couple hours once a week, if not longer. Cool. I'm still trying to work it all out now that the kiddo's done with school. I have a little more time during the day. But that being said, keep an eye out on the Discord, because I will let everyone know when I'm going to be doing that. And I would love for everyone to come and hang out, because, I mean, at Star Trek and hanging out with fellow Trekkies, and I mean, that's amazing. So please.
Are you sure you want me to come hang out, Jay? I have a feeling I'm going to get in a fight with
You know what? I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't have it any other way, Sabrina. I love it.
Duke up about TOS. I love TOS.
How opinionated and how strong you are. So yes, please.
Oh, thanks.
All right.
Always ready to duke out about subjective shit. All right. please join the Discord. Come find us at popgeeks.com. It's there for host.popgeeks.com, I think.
For host.popgeeks.com.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And Keith.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. And remember to always keep looking up.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
See y'all later.
Bye.